Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Dick, thank you for another visit to the program.
Well, it's a privilege to be here to enjoy this wonderful race by grace.
Dick, Hebrews chapter 11 is possibly one of the clearest presentations in the whole Bible on the matter of faith. Then immediately following, we have the fifth and probably most sober warning in the book of Hebrews. It's an interesting sequence, isn't it?
It really is. Because in chapters 1 through 10, you have a clear, thorough comparison between God's economy and man's religion. So then we come to chapter 11, this wonderful chapter on faith. And in this chapter, we see that we need to go on the way of God's economy by faith. And up to this point, we can see that there's kind of 2 roads. One road is the road of man's religion, and it's very clear. Do not go down that road that's been terminated and has a big sign over it that says closed, but rather take the highway in God's economy, taking the way of faith. That is, by enjoying Christ as our grace, looking away unto Jesus, running this race, and he is the author and perfecter of our faith, is infusing us moment by moment as we run this race.
Dick, these two things, grace and faith, are very much linked and closely related. We're going to look at them today and their relationship. Now let's join Witness Lee with today's life study.
Here in chapter 12, the whole chapter is a warning after the teaching in chapter 11. After the presentation of the unique way of faith, the writer warns us with chapter 12. And this warning is mainly to warn us, number one, to run the race. And number two, do not fall away from grace. So this morning, we have to see, do not fall away from grace. You have a race here, and you have also a grace here. You have the race, and you have the grace. Praise the Lord. The grace is sufficient for the race, and the race needs the grace. Now, we come to a very crucial point. That is, what is the grace? When I was young, sitting before those great leaders, teachers, I was taught definitely in this way, grace is nothing that we do. Grace is that everything God does for us. Grace is that the Lord does everything for us. You don't need to do anything. Whatever you do, that is work. That is not grace. I was satisfied by that for a short period of time. Then after that, I started to question, because I pick up a lot of verses, such as, the law was given through Moses, and grace came with Jesus. John chapter 1 also says, we all have received of his fullness, grace upon grace. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he told us that he labored more than all the apostles. He said, it is not I, but the grace of God. One day, I compared this verse with Galatians 2:20. Paul says, "It is no more I, but Christ lives in me." Then Paul says, "It is not I, but the grace of God with me." I compare these two verses. Right away, I realize what is grace. Grace is God in Christ, dispensed into our being for our enjoyment in our experience. Grace is not just some work the Lord did or does for us. Grace is the triune God himself, dispensed into our being for our enjoyment in our experiences. This is grace. So, in brief, the very grace is that the triune God experienced by us. This is grace. This morning, I do believe we brothers and sisters all realize in our experience the grace is our triune God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit dispensed into all our being. Firstly in our spirit, then spreading into our whole being. And this, dear triune God, becomes our enjoyment in our experiences. If we would just be clear about this definition, I tell you, brothers, we know what we are speaking about, and we know what we are experiencing.
Dick, what a tremendous view of the grace of God. We have a traditional definition, Dick, of grace, that it is nothing that we can do, and it is just God's unmerited favor. The definition that we've just had, however, in this portion goes far beyond that. Say more about this enlarged view of grace.
What a privilege to see this uplifted view of grace. It is so good to see that grace is just Christ himself. Grace is the triune God himself. I like John 1:17. It mentions that the law was given by Moses, but it says grace came through Jesus Christ. So the law was just something given, but grace is a person who comes. This is tremendous. So grace is none other than Christ himself. And this Christ has gone through a long process to become today the life-giving Spirit. So what is grace? Grace is just God the Father, embodied in God the Son, who today is realized and imparted into us as the life-giving Spirit to be our enjoyment. So grace is not merely unmerited favor, nor just something that God does for us, but it's the triune God in Christ as the Spirit being our enjoyment, our supply, enabling us to live a heavenly life on this earth.
Dick, I've noticed over the years that Witness Lee nearly always links the word enjoyment with the word grace. I've noticed in your sharing here, you've done the same. Why do we link these two?
Well, because even part of the definition of the word grace includes joy. And even the Lord in Paul through 2 Timothy 4:22 says, "The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you." In other words, he wants to be our experience. He wants to be our enjoyment. When we experience Christ, we experience him as our food. We experience him as our drink. Now, is that joy? Is that enjoyment? I've never seen a miserable person yet when they're eating their meal. When they're hungry and they're eating a meal, they're so happy. So to experience Christ is to eat him, to drink him. We enjoy him. He becomes a supply. Anytime you're supplied, you are a joyful person. So therefore, we can say grace is to enjoy Christ as everything.
Hmm. Wonderful. Thanks, Dick. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The grace of God, having come to us through Christ, the law was given, but the grace came to us through Christ. And this grace is the grace of Christ, and it is just Christ himself. So to fall away from the grace of God is to fall away from Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 5 and read verse 4 according to the proper translation. Ye are severed from Christ. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. To fall from grace is to be severed from Christ. And to be severed here, the word severed in Greek means cut off. To be cut off. To fall away from grace is to be cut off from Christ. Just like a branch of the tree. To be cut off from the tree. That is to be severed from the tree. And that is, brothers and sisters, to fall away from grace. I say again, today we all have these kind of experiences. A number of times we were cut off. We were cut off from the fellowship with the living Christ. When we were cut off from the fellowship with the living Christ, we did have the sensation that we were away from grace. But on the contrary, when we are in the intimate fellowship with the dear Lord, we have the deep sensation we are in grace. Grace is there for our enjoyment, and grace is there for our strength. For the Hebrew believers, to fall away from the grace of God is to give up, listen to this, the enjoyment of Christ in the new covenant way. How we dare to say this? Because by the arranging of the furnitures of the tabernacle, we can see the whole thing there is a revelation of the enjoyment of Christ. At the altar, we enjoy Christ as our sacrifices. At the liver, we enjoy Christ as the life-giving spirit that washes us. At the show table, we enjoy Christ as our daily supply. At the lampstand, we enjoy Christ as our light. At the incense altar, we enjoy Christ as the resurrection fragrance through which we may be accepted by God. Then, we turn the Holy of Holies at the Ark of Testimony. We enjoy Christ as the hidden man, as the budding rod, and as the law of life. This is the enjoyment of Christ according to the new covenant way. If the Hebrew believers in ancient time would give up this new covenant way, this means they would just fall away from the grace.
Dick, the warning here is related to our falling away from grace, which is to fall away from Christ and to be severed or cut off. We might think that these are drastic and startling characterizations, and certainly they are, but did it strike you that to fall away and to be cut off is just to give up the new covenant way of enjoying Christ?
That's true. That is very striking because it doesn't mention doing something very bad, quote unquote, but just falling away from grace. That is just falling away from the new covenant way of enjoying Christ. God is offended that we would take any way other than the enjoyment of his Son. This is clear through the whole New Testament. We have to see, according to the Old Testament picture of the tabernacle, that the arrangement of all the furniture in the tabernacle is a revelation concerning our enjoyment of Christ in the new covenant. For example, you have the altar when you first come in, and here we would enjoy Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. So we're happy people this morning because we're enjoying Christ as our sin taker-awayer. He's the one who puts away sin. And then you have the laver, indicating the washing of the water. Every day, isn't it good, Chris, that we can enjoy Christ in the new covenant way? Don't fall away from grace, but enjoy Christ in his word and enjoy the washing of the water in his word so that we could be cleaned from the dust of this earth. And then we come to the showbread table. Again, we see the enjoyment of Christ as our bread, as our supply. Then you go to the lampstand, indicating Christ in us as we've enjoyed him becoming the light of life, not shining down on us in a condemning way, but shining as life within us, wanting to spread, saturate, permeate, and make home in our entire being. Then we see the incense altar signifying Christ in resurrection as our satisfaction and acceptance to God at the incense altar. And then we see in the Holy of Holies the ark, the tablets, the budding rod, and the hidden manna, signifying Christ as the law of life who is operating in us every day to make us the same as him in life and nature. The new covenant way is enjoying Christ according to what we see of the arrangement of the furniture in the tabernacle. We don't want to fall away from the new covenant way of enjoying Christ. We want to take this way and enjoy Christ as our grace according to the new covenant.
Dick, we have a negative example of one who fell away from grace in this coming session.
Right.
Before we get into it, though, let me point out that in this portion there is a distinct warble. It was on the original master tape that we had to work with from 1975. And we apologize. There's really nothing electronically that we can do for this particular problem. There's just a warble that's kind of intermittent. So it's not your radio. It is on the old master tape, and we do apologize. It's clear and not too distracting, but we want to mention it so that you know in advance. And please accept our apologies, but we wanted to go ahead and offer this portion by Witness Lee.
Now, we could realize the cause of falling away from the grace of God. Here, the apostle gave us three causes. Number one, a bitter root. Number two, fornicator. Number three, a profane person. If we get into this book, we could realize that the bitter root or the root of bitterness must be a Judaizer, one that was stubborn with Judaism. The bitterness in the ancient days by the Judaizers is to convince the Hebrew believers that the new covenant way is wrong, but the old is the right way. The second factor is the fornicator. Here, the apostle said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. I do believe when he was writing this, he had within him something concerning Reuben. Reuben, the first son of Jacob, he had the birthright. But he got wrecked by his fleshly lust. So due to that, he lost his birthright. He was the fornicator. Nothing ruins God's people as fornication. nothing damages God's people in God's economy as fornication does. Now, the third cause, the profane person. What is a profane person? That is one who loves the world, who loved the worldly things, who loved worldliness, like Esau, captured by the entertainment of the physical things. As Esau sold his birthright for one meal. She sold too cheap. Now, for the birthright, I must ask you to read the note on page 55.
Well, Dick, at this point in his message, Witness Lee had someone stand and read the footnote that he's talking about here, so I think I'll go ahead and read that for us now. It's from chapter 12, verse 16, and footnote 1 from the New Testament Recovery Version with footnotes. Any worldly enjoyment, even one meal, could cause us to forfeit this birthright of ours. After such a serious warning, if the Hebrew believers would still prefer to indulge in one meal of their old religion, they would miss the full enjoyment of Christ and lose the kingdom rest with all its blessing. Esau was not the only one who lost his birthright. Reuben was another who lost the blessing of the birthright. Esau lost it because of his lust in eating. Reuben lost it because of the defilement of his lust. All these should be warnings to us. The word, "lest there be any fornicator," in this verse might have been written with the background of Reuben. Actually, what we are privileged to enjoy in Christ is the foretaste of the blessing in the coming kingdom. The proper enjoyment of this foretaste will usher us into the full taste of the kingdom blessings. If we do not enjoy Christ today as our good land, how can we enter into his rest in the kingdom and inherit the earth with him? If we do not exercise our priesthood today to contact him and prayerfully minister to him, how can we fulfill our priestly duty in the kingdom? And if we do not exercise our spirit with the God-given authority to rule ourself, our flesh, our entire being, and the enemy with all his power of darkness today, how can we be Christ's co-kings and rule the nations with him in his kingdom? Our enjoyment of Christ and the practice of the priesthood and kingship today are the preparation and qualification for our participating in Christ's kingdom tomorrow. Well, Dick, we just had an example from the Old Testament of the falling away from grace that has become our focus today. Can you give us a quick sketch, Dick, of the story of Reuben and maybe elaborate on the kind of causes of this falling away that we as believers might face today?
Reuben fell away because of the lust of his flesh. He was defiled. He even lost the birthright because of the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh. On the other hand, Joseph, one of the other sons, because he fled the lust of the flesh, was rewarded with a double portion of the birthright, signifying that when we flee this ugly thing within each one of us, the lust of the flesh, then we are rewarded with a double portion of the enjoyment of Christ. You consider your experience, even all of you who are listening today, you realize any day you flee this evil thing within our flesh, right away you flee to your spirit, to the enjoyment of Christ, you get a double portion of Christ. So we want to be those who flee youthful lusts, according to 2 Timothy 2:22, and who pursue Christ. And we want to be those in Galatians 5:16 who walk according to the Spirit, that they may not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is there, but there would not be the fulfillment because we walk according to the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "He who commits fornication sins against his own body." So the most damaging sin to we believers is this matter of fornication. And we live in a filthy and perverted and crooked generation. So, Chris, I believe you and I, with all the listeners today, we're all warned, don't fall away from the grace of God. Be careful about this matter of fornication. go on strongly in the new covenant way of enjoying Christ and run this race by taking grace every day.
Dick, I'm very encouraged. There isn't just the charge to flee
right. And
the warning of what happens if we don't.
Right.
There is this promise of the double portion of the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
And that's our reward for following the Lord and taking grace to flee.
Amen.
It's marvelous.
It's marvelous.
It's a different view. It's not just motivation by fear. Certainly we do revere and hold God's word in a sober and steadfast way. But the promise is too good.
Amen.
For Dick Taylor Today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.